Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners. No prisoners. 1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter. You can find me on the web at turnerstake.com, or if you're a farmer, turnerstakeag.com. I'm a broker here at Daniels Trading. Work with online traders, broker assistants. We have a fantastic hybrid program where it's a mix of both, and manage futures and all that good stuff too. So if you want to contact me, you can look in the show notes here. You can go to turnerstake.com. All my contact information will be there. So hope everyone had a great Memorial Day. I had a nice time, spent a lot of it outside, but here we are back at work and we got the short week. So I'm recording this Tuesday night. I used to do these in the office, but recently I've just been too busy. So here I am in my basement recording it. Amongst the kids' toys. As we look in, let's talk about cattle. I've been talking about the cattle on feed report in cattle, how we have seen the markets, the cattle on feed reports January, really up until this last one that just came out on Friday, are showing a build of cattle coming on, into the lots. Now I know it takes time for cattle, once it's placed on those lots, to eventually come to market and build weights and, see the effects of that. But I think we're going to start seeing soon a lot more cattle coming to the market here. I mean, unless I'm reading these cattle on feed reports wrong, since January, we have been adding a lot of cattle. And I know the cash prices are high because we do have a cash situation where we do have a little bit of a shortage. We put in spring highs in cattle a lot of times and then come back down towards the summer. I think just the seasonality of the beef demand and all these placements we're seeing cattle on feed, add in the fact that we had kind of a run-up because of the cash price and a little bit of a short-term shortage there. It's hard to get outright short the futures here because the discount of the cash market is such a premium to the futures. But on the other hand, I really don't get long because the fundamentals in the back end don't look good. So I like short August, long December. Something I've been writing about in Turner's Take Market Alert. If you look at a chart of it, we've got some support around 2.4, meaning August trading 2.5 over December. We've got some resistance close to 5. So, it's a 2.5-point range. That's $1,000 in cattle, 2.5 points. But as this market gets more normalized, I really do think that August cattle is going to trade below Dece. I think, that would be not surprising to me just from the usual term structure. So I think, again, it's not going to happen tomorrow, but I do think over time, as the cattle market gets replenished, as we see these cattle that have been gone on, cattle on feed, come to market, I think the August month is going to get pressured, and I wouldn't be surprised to see August go from a premium to December, flip and then become a discount to December. So we'll see there. That is something I've been following along and something that we've been trading. If you want to know more about specifically prices and targets and stops and stuff like that, you feel free to email me or give me a call. I am a Series 3 broker, and I cannot give trade recs over social media. NFA would flip out. So, best I could do. You can check out the newsletter. As far as the other side of livestock is hogs, I've been talking about July versus December hogs. Now, for a while there, we were real bullish on hogs for a couple of months as pork bellies led the hog market higher. Now, it looks like hogs are,
I wouldn't say topping out, but you know, we're getting up there. We're getting far up there. We've been keeping an eye on the cash prices, on the belly prices. In my last email, I think out to when I wrote about it on Turner's Tech, I even added a link to the USDA site where you can see all the different prices for the different cutouts, you know, including the bellies. So we finally had a down day today, and it almost looks like a reversal in the chart, but wasn't quite. I've been that July D spread is, you know, is around 18 or 19 points, July 18 or 19 over December. There's if bellies continue to be strong, we could widen out to 20, 21, 22. Or this might be the top. I have no idea. I just know that we have run up very strong, that the demand for pork bellies isn't going to be this strong forever. And when it does break, I think that July is going to lose to Dece. So I am using the cash prices as a guide that I get from the National Reporting System. And I'm also using the charts. And we haven't seen a reversal yet. Until I see that reversal, a true reversal on the charts, you know, then I'll think about getting in. But for right now, it's on my radar. I check it every day. I'll keep you posted. And that is what's going on with you know, with the hog market. So that was livestock. Let's go over to energies. Something that before I went to Memphis for Memphis in May, Daniels Trading and Andy Daniels has a barbecue, submits a team for a barbecue competition. He also donates to St. Jude, which is down there too, if you're familiar with the St. Jude Hospital, Children's Hospital. So we were down there, and right before we went down there, I was looking at August versus December heating oil being bear spread. If I had talked to you on the phone, if you're a client of mine and we talk on the phone, I may have mentioned it to you. I may have not, because it was something I wanted to get into right before I left for Memphis for Barbecue Fest, and then the entry price we were looking happened, and I got back, we kind of missed it. But I still like that spread, August versus Dece. I think we may have missed out. So the next best thing is going to be crude oil. And one that I really am liking, we were earlier for a couple of months ago, we were playing that August versus Dece spread. And I think what I like on the crude is either Dece versus March or Dece versus June. And let me just bear with me here. You know, crude has really been trading in a range. OPEC tries to cut prices or cut production to raise prices. And what happens? U.S. shale production goes up to take market share away and also add supply and bring prices back down. You know, we're reading reports today. You know, crude oil was down during the trading session on Tuesday, and a lot of it had to do with reports of Libya basically, you know, producing as much as they can. They need the money too. If OPEC's going to cut, Libya's saying, you know what, we're producing. You know, we need the money. Basically, long story short. And you just get the idea here that every time crude oil rallies into the 50s, and especially if it's due because of an OPEC, you know, confirming something about cutting supply, that supply is going to be made up somewhere around the world. So I've been looking at ways to maybe to play that, because crude oil can certainly be volatile both ways. Don't really want to outright short the futures. Don't want to use the options market so much, just because of the time value is kind of a is tricky for that market. So I like Dece versus June. I like Dece versus March. I think the Dece versus March margin's like $300 or $400 per spread. I think Dece versus June is something like 600 or 700. And if you look at the charts, like Dece versus June, we're trading around even. The recent highs have been 40 cents Dece over June. Recent lows have been minus 60, but it, you know, back in November of last year, we're down a buck. Dece trading a dollar under June, so I kind of like that risk reward. I have not entered that position yet, but I think I'm gonna write about it tomorrow morning for a Turner's Take Market Alert. And it's either gonna be that one or the Dece versus March, which is a smaller trade, and it depends on the trader, you know, what you are. You know, some people are like the Dece versus March, that's a $300 margin or 350. I'd have to check the tables, but it's right about there, and that's trading at about 11 under.
So December at 11 cents under March. But again, like the recent range, it's traded maybe 14 cents over to down to 45 cents under. So what is that? 45, 15. It's a 60 cent range. So it's a $600 range. We're more at towards the top of the range. I think crude is going lower. You know, you can have a margin of 300, risk of a couple hundred, you know, give or take up. Looking to make a couple hundred, give or take down. Or if you want to fade me, say, Craig, you don't know what you're talking about. Go ahead and take the opposite side. But if you're thinking about, you know, the way I see crude oil and just thinking that every time OPEC talks about cuts in production, someone's going to make it up somewhere. I don't know. I think then the bias is more down. The only thing that I really feel is going to change that kind of negative bias or range-bound bias in crude is if we get real, honest-to-God growth in the United States and around the world. And not just the, you know, we have, the growth is fine in the United States. You know, talking about 2% GDP or 1.5% or 2 point whatever, that's fine. That's good enough to keep things going. But it's not, you know, it is, they're not hitting it out of the park in terms of economic growth in the United States, nor in the global economy. Everything is just kind of steady as she goes. And as long as it's like that, I don't see any reason why we'd see a demand picture for crude to really break out above $55 or $60. I think we're more likely to kind of test the 40s again, low 40s again, just because, you know, OPEC can't cut supplies forever because they need the market share. They need the revenue too. And it just seems like there's going to be new ways to find crude oil. It becomes cheaper as the technology gets better. And eventually that puts a downward pressure on crude oil. So that's where I see that going. That's why I'm looking at those bear spreads. That's something I'm definitely going to write about in Turner's Take Market Alert tomorrow. So keep an eye out for that. See what we can do with that. I know I've been writing a lot about natural gas, too. I have a feeling I missed the boat on this one. I'm just looking at, like, October versus February. But any kind of bear spreads in natural gas, it seems like they've already made the move. If we get a rally here in those spreads, I'll take another look at them. But for right now, I'll hold off. Plus, I don't like doubling up in energy. Like, I like picking one, maybe two. So I kind of liked that heating oil, but I didn't get it out in time before I went to Memphis. I like the natural gas. I think we missed it, though. That crude oil one, though, if you look at the charts of that, I think there's still room to run for us if we're about right about the market direction. So on the energy side, we'll be following the crude oil spreads. And the livestock, you know, right now we're involved in cattle and keeping an eye on hogs. So the third major sector we watch is the grain markets. And, you know, I can't get too excited either way on grains right now. It's hard to be bearish at these prices. I mean, soybeans testing $9, corn in the mid to high threes, wheat in the low fours. You know, who wants to sell the grain markets down there? I could see, you know, there's a seasonal trade coming up. It's one that comes up every year. Grain traders know it well. It's Septis corn. We're already at a 10 cent, 11 cent carry. Maybe we go to 15 cent carry. Carrying corn is about 5 cent per month. But, you know, if something should happen to the corn crop, the risk is pretty much outweighs the reward. What would be interesting is September 17 versus March 18. That carries about 20 cents, but full carry would be over 30 cents. So at least there's 10 cents of profit potential just based on where we are now in full carry in September versus March corn. Again, there's definitely some risk to the upside, but I haven't looked up the margins for SEP March corn. If I had to guess, probably be only a few $100s. I can't imagine it being more than $300 or $400. I could be wrong on that. You never know with the exchange, but I would think it'd be somewhere in that ballpark. So it'd definitely be an interesting spread. What's nice about SEP versus March corn is very liquid, probably more liquid than the outright market, so you can easily work stops in there too. So I guess that's what I would look at the grain markets. Again, in terms of a bearish view, it's hard to get bearish. The farmers we work with out there, if we had bought anywhere between 960 puts in November to $10 puts in November. Some of these are getting deep in the money, especially the $10 puts. But even the 960s now, at one point they were 40 cents in the money. What we have been doing is we always said if, we got up a dollar on some of those puts from where the strike price was, we'd probably look to sell something on the, farther down to make up for the initial premium cost, with the put. So let's say, a couple of months ago, back in February, bought a $10 put for 45 cents. Now that put's going to be worth about a dollar or more. We can recoup a lot of that 45 cents we initially outlaid, if we go look to sell like a $9 put or something like that. So all of a sudden you get that $10 put for free. The thing is, what's our floor for beans? I don't think it's $9. I think it's closer to 960. So if you are a farmer, if you are doing that with me, if you're in the 960s, I think we'll be a little more patient. But if 980 is $10, give me a call and we'll start to look at ways to basically sell a put farther out so we can pay for the original one that we bought earlier in the year, for hedges. So that's what I'll probably be going to do in the hedge newsletter. But that's about as bearish I can get right now on grains. I think I'd rather be long. We've got a record. I think we're record short in corn, wheat, and soybeans. We're at cost of production for a lot of crops and a lot of people in the United States and around the world. Had one farmer to me said, "Wow, if the prices keep like this, no one's gonna plant, anything next year." And he was half joking, but I think that's the point. I think that is the point of why the prices have come down this much and stayed down here. It is the market shakeout. And it's not that farmers want to plant. I don't, but if we stay at these prices again for another season, some of them won't be able to. And I think that, unfortunately, is, an economist would say that's the market's job. To price these things low enough where people don't plant those, farmers don't plant those types of crops. And I think I'm starting to see that. I spend a lot of time on the phone talking to farmers, and there's a sense here where if we stay down here, some guys are not going to be, either farming next year, or they're just not going to do corn, wheat, or soybeans. They're going to look for an alternative. So I don't know. That's how, I mean, I never like to hear that, but I gotta say that I'm starting. To me, that's just another bullish flag. I don't know if it's gonna be bullish now or this week or next week, but it's just one of those things where don't see the big point of being bearish here. There's gonna be more upside in being bullish. Just a matter of when, and something that we'll keep an eye on. So that's where we are. That's my take right now on the livestock, energy, and grains. I'll look for ways to, get long the grain markets, but until you have some kind of technical breakout or fundamental reason to really get long, I don't see the point. So for now, we're gonna be looking at the bear spreads and crude, cattle, and hogs, and we'll just go from there. So if you have any questions, feel free to give me a call, or shoot me an email. All my contact information is in the show notes. My email is cturner@danielstrading.com. And my phone number is 800-958-9470 or 312-706-7610. You can always visit me on the web, turnerstake.com and turnerstakeag.com. Alrighty, well, thanks very much, and I'll be speaking to you soon.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation cancellation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.